And now, In-Flight Entertainment is proud to present Marauder Radio.
Oh, you men are all alike. 7 or 8 quick ones and you're off with the boys to boast and brag. You better keep your mouth shut. Oh, I think I love him.
Maybe we should chug on over to Mamby Pamby Land, where maybe we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon.
You may be right.
Oh, it looks good on you, though.
I may be crazy.
Okay.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the host of Marauder Radio, your lunatic lover and poet, Mr. Bob Zemoff.
Yes, indeedy, everybody. Yes, indeedy. It's Sunday Fun Day, which means that I am live at the Grumpy Gator Cafe here for your entertainment pleasure. So whether you're watching on the YouTube stream, which airs live as I do the radio show every Sunday at 9 o'clock, every Sunday at 9 o'clock. Oh, my. I don't know if the stream is working. Is my stream working? I don't know. It should be. Oh, gosh. Here we go again, everybody. Here we go again. Well, hopefully this will work. The technology around this thing is so crazy from time to time. But anyways, everybody, welcome to the beautiful Grumpy Gator Cafe. My name is Bob Zema, and I am the cafe's resident lunatic lover and poet. And this is where we talk about gaining psychological fitness skills to improve your life, right? This is where we talk about finding the ways to improve your life with some skills, some conversation, some discussion. In fact, you can join the conversation. If you're listening on the YouTube channel live Sundays at 9 o'clock, or you're out in Blog Talk Radio world listening, you can call in at 515-605-9800. Again, that's 515-605-9800. Don't hesitate to reach out. Reach out and touch someone and call up and just say hi. There we go. I'm dating myself. A wonderful AT&T commercial from probably the 80s, I think, right? That would have been the 80s, the AT&T commercial. But anyways, folks, it's great to have you here. Glad that you've chosen to join us on the world's largest therapy couch here at the Grumpy Gator Cafe. For Marauder Radio, arg mateys, it's Pirate Radio for mental wellness. This is where we talk about lots of different ideas for how you can improve the quality of your life, relationships, whatever it is you want to do. Today, I've got a number of topics. Woo, yes, a number of topics that I want to talk about. And first, I want to start out with recreation. We will hear people always talk, ooh, we need to recreate. We need to have recreation. And perhaps maybe you have a recreational vehicle, RV. Most people think of campers or motorhomes or stuff like that, but certainly a recreational vehicle could be the two things at the bottom of your legs, your feet. They could also be a motorcycle, a bike. Recreational vehicle could be, let's see, I said feet, bike, could be a car, could be a camper, could be a boat, could be an ATV. Because when it comes to the art of stress reduction, when it comes to the art of being able to deal with the bullshit of life, just the bullshit of life, it's the bullshit of life, the bullshit of life, when it comes to dealing with that, one of the things we need to do is to cut loose, to recreate, to go out and have fun. We can have recreation. We can recreate by ourselves, with another person, with two other people, or with a large group. At the end of the day, recreation is something we do that we enjoy, It's something we do to have fun. It's something we do to improve the overall quality of our lives. And so recreation is indeed, people, one of the most important things that you can do for yourself to improve your overall mental wellness. Makes sense? Yes, of course it does. So what do I mean by recreate? It could be anything: fishing, bowling, walking, running, hiking. It could be working out. It could be going and hanging out around a bonfire, having some drinks and hanging out with friends, or better yet, just having a bonfire by yourself and just vegging. What is it about a bonfire where you stare into those dancing flames and suddenly there's relaxation that overcomes you and you start thinking about things, right? It's almost like having a drug-induced experience without the drugs. Or, you know, you just get lost in it. You get mesmerized by the flame. Creation, which really is an overarching umbrella or a big bucket. You choose whichever analogy or visual you need. It is something you do to help you, A, reduce stress, and B, have fun. Even when we're having fun, we can feel a little bit of stress. But for the most part, when we're having fun, when we're doing something we enjoy, when we're hanging out with people whom we love to be with, people that we enjoy being with, we have a tendency to feel better about ourselves. We have a tendency to be more optimistic. We have a tendency to allow hope and dreams to run loose, right? We start thinking, we start believing in ourselves, our dreams. We start believing in that we can accomplish things, right? And then we start to feel hope, right? When you're standing there at a bonfire, whether you're with 100 people or by yourself, and you're mesmerized by the dancing orange and yellow and red flame, and the smoke gets in your eyes. Ooh, that's the worst part. But before the smoke gets in your eyes, you start thinking, maybe I can do that. Maybe this will happen. And when you start believing in yourself, in your skills, in your dreams, in your hopes, excuse me. Oh, man. If I could improv and talk, life would be good. So when you're mesmerized by those flames and you start believing in yourself, your skills, your dreams, your abilities, your plans, what do you get? Hope. That's why I had to back up and start all over again. Because believing in yourself, your dreams, believing that things are going to happen for you fosters hope. Hope's emotional. Faith, the cognitive process, helps you develop that hope. But recreation gives us that opportunity, right? Gives us that opportunity to step back, get out of the fast pace of our work life, right? On the other hand, when it comes to leisure, right, we're talking about recreation and leisure. Sometimes those two things go together. Sometimes we talk about recreation and leisure. The thing is that recreation is the actual activity we're doing. Leisure is the pace at which we are doing that activity. So when we're stressed and we recreate, we can recreate by going for a hike. We can recreate by going for a run. We can recreate by sitting in a boat and fishing. All of those have different paces. That's the leisure part. So when we recreate, we want variety. We want a variety of different things. But when we also recreate, we want to change up the pace from time to time. So we want that leisure component to be a part of it. Because leisure is about how quickly, how fast, how intense are we doing some kind of activity or recreation that helps us unwind, unkink the rope, that helps us deal with the bullshit of life, right? So if I'm fishing, that can be an incredibly stress-reducing kind of activity. It could be very leisurely. It's a very slow-paced activity. If I'm fishing with another person and also having conversation, well, now I've enhanced that recreational activity by having by conversing with someone, by building a relationship, which I feel closer, more intimate with that person, right? Even if I go hiking, it's a little bit more effort. But if I'm hiking with someone versus hiking alone, it's a completely different experience. I have enhanced that. On the other hand, I can enhance it by going alone, listening to Bob Zima's Marauder Radio podcast while I hike or something else, right? But I'm hiking. I'm putting in a little more effort. If I'm running, right, I'm running a 10K or I'm running a full marathon, I'm still recreating, but the leisure aspect of it is a little bit more intense. And so you want a variety of recreational activities in your world. You need a variety of recreational activities in your world to help you deal with stress. The other thing you want to do is change up the pace, right? Change up that leisure as well. Now, sometimes recreation begets a certain level of leisure, right? But you can enjoy baseball. You can go to a baseball game, and that can be very leisurely. You can play baseball. That still can be leisurely, but it's a different level of energy and effort put into it. You can go to a baseball game and watch it by yourself, but when you're playing baseball, you're interacting with other people. These fun activities that we enjoy also have a psychological benefit. In addition, they have a physiological benefit. We're working out. We're exercising. We're laughing. We're engaging our whole body, right? So it's body, mind, and soul. And there we go. I don't know if you heard that. My cell phone went off. I should have probably muted my notifications. But recreation and leisure are important elements and important aspects to us being able to manage stress. So when you think about it, how many recreational activities do you do in a given week? What's the pace, the energy, the leisure associated with those recreational activities? I suggest you do at least one or two recreational activities each and every day, right? And it's not an activity that you need to do to sustain your life, right? So, I mean, if cooking, for example, is a means of eating and you're cooking to prepare a meal, that's more functional. But if suddenly you're going to smoke some meat, you want to get into meat smoking, or you want to learn how to barbecue fish, or you want to, now we're starting to get a little bit more towards recreation. But let's be really honest. Cooking is functional. Even if we make it a little bit recreational, it's still functional and recreational. There's still a leisurely pace to it. But I want you to really think about, how often do I recreate? Do I do it every day? Do I go for a walk just for the sake of going for a walk? Do I ever go for a bike ride just for the sake of going for a bike ride? Do I ever sit on my deck and just enjoy a sunset? Do I go for a run and enjoy a wonderful sunrise? Make sure each and every day you're doing something to recreate. Look at that recreational activity and see, what is your leisure line like? Does it go up? Does it come down? Does it go back up? Or is it flatlined? Because recreation is great, but unless we vary the energy and the intensity, which we call leisure, the recreation is A, going to get boring, and B, you don't have enough variety.
In 6 miles to Chicago, we got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes, it's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Don't drive angry, man. Don't drive angry.
Alrighty.
You're listening to Marauder Radio with your host, the pirate king of the hole in the soul crew, Mr. Bob Zena.
Mr. Bob is calm down here. Help me, Jesus! Help me, Jesus, God! Help me, Allah!
What the hell are you doing in the bathroom day and night? Why don't you get out of there? Give someone else a chance.
Hey everybody, it's Bob Zema, and I just want to tell you about my brand new psychological masterpiece. That's right, I wrote a book, and it's called Toilet Therapy, Healing Anger.
Do not go in there.
Woo!
It's a crapper companion guide, and it's designed to help you remove the crap from your soul while you're, well, you know,
doing your business in the library.
There is a tiger in the bathroom.
You can be the tiger in the bathroom that takes care of that roaring lion and tiger out in your real world. You'll spend hours and hours on the toilet with my Crapper Companion Guide, learning how to heal your anger and improve the quality of your life.
Yeah, good. I believe you did tell your soul to the devil.
Cruise on over to BobZima.com to get your copy of Toilet Therapy Healing Anger and start your healing process today.
Who does number two work for?
Oh, you men are all alike.
I need it all on this phone.
Seven or eight quick ones, and you're off with a boy.
I need a lover that won't drive me crazy.
To boast and brag.
I need a lover that won't drive me crazy.
You better keep your mouth shut. Oh, I think I love him.
Marauder Radio, starring your pirate king of the Hole in the Soul crew, Bob Zima, will continue in just a moment.
Yo ho, a pirate's life for me.
Absolutely a pirate's life for me, everybody. Hello, America and the world, because this is internet-based radio. You're listening live to Marauder Radio on Blog Talk Radio. Folks, this is how it works, man. I create a live one-hour radio show every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Central Time. Then from there, we slice it into little small chunks, and we put it on the Marauder Radio podcast, Arg Mateys podcast, pirate podcasts for mental wellness. But again, if you're listening live on Marauder Radio, live on Blog Talk Radio, and you want to reach out, feel free to reach out. Share your thoughts, comments, ideas, suggestions. 515-605-9800 is the number. Again, it's 515-605-9800. Whether you're listening to us on Marauder Radio Live via Blog Talk Radio or you're watching the live stream on my YouTube channel, it's great to have you here. Thank you for tuning in. The second segment today, I want to talk about marriage. All right, marriage. Yes, indeed. Let me tell you something. People will say this all the time. You'll hear it a lot, right? Marriage is work. Marriage is work. Marriage is effort. This usually comes from people who have found out through their own experiences that marriage is difficult. Marriage is hard. Marriage is tough. Marriage is a four-letter word that ends in K. Work. W-O-R-K. Marriage is work. And here, you know, people will say it, as I was just ranting and raving about. But the question is, why? Why is marriage work? Why is marriage so difficult? Why is it such a challenge? Well, I'll tell you. Because marriage is the union of two people, two unique individuals, that have their own personality, their own temperament, and their own life story. Most of us don't get married until our mid-20s, maybe early 30s. It's changed. Come next Saturday, so before the next show, I will celebrate my 34th wedding anniversary. Holy shnikes! And if you ask my wife, she'll tell you, she has no idea how I stayed committed for 34 years. Because I don't, you know, commit to much of anything. I change my mind all the time. I'm always wanting new. I'm always looking for that next adventure. I'm always looking for that next doorway to open and lead me to the next hallway, right? The next hallway that'll lead me to the next great adventure. But 34 years of marriage, up until my wife and I met and up until my wife and I got married, we each had our own life story going. We had a series of things in which we engaged in our life, right? My wife went to high school. I went to high school. We had two very different high school experiences. I was a big fish in a small pond. She was a small fish in a big pond. She was athletic. I did more of the newspaper and theater type stuff. She had a different upbringing by her parents and had a different family experience than I did. But when two people with a unique personality, temperament, and life story come together, there are going to be pieces that mesh. There are going to be pieces that fit nicely together. But there's also going to be pieces that don't connect, that don't mesh. When a couple, married couple, and I'm going to stay with married, right? Because there's a legal and binding contract that married couples make with each other. Many of them also do it socially in front of their family and friends. But marriage is a legal and binding contract between two people who have agreed to merge their lives, who have agreed to merge their personality, their temperament, and their life story. And this is an important piece. Because it is in that merger, as I said before, where some things dovetail and come together quite nicely, other things do not. But when this couple needs to communicate effectively in an effort to resolve a problem collectively, to come together and collaborate and negotiate and identify a solution for a problem, this is when things can kind of go sideways. Not only that, when things go sideways, while people are trying to find a resolution to a problem, people are trying to collaborate, negotiate, people are trying to communicate. When things go sideways, we then have to COPE, cope. And we cope in different ways because of our personality, our temperament, and our life story. My wife copes very differently than I do, right? I cope very differently than she does. And there's nothing good or bad, right or wrong, with the ways in which we cope because they work for us. But when they come together to form a couplehood, when they come together to form a singular style that is created through our marital dynamics, this is when things can kind of go awry. This is when things can kind of get stressed, right? This is why marriages work. Because I need to come to understand my wife's style of communication, problem solving, and coping, which her style is based on her personality, her temperament traits, and her life story, as is mine. So I've learned to cope in a different way than she did because we led incredibly different lives up until we met. And we still continue to lead separate lives, even though we have legally agreed to and are legally bound to being together. We still have different interests, different hobbies, different passions. So even though our lives are intertwined and we have legally agreed to do that, we still have different life styles, life approaches. And that is fed in from our childhood, adolescence, and even young adulthood. But my personality and temperament have dictated the styles, the patterns, the way in which I communicate, problem solve, and ultimately cope. And so when those things mesh nicely, we can collaborate and negotiate and come to a consensus about solving a problem or making a decision, something as simple as where to go for dinner, something as complex as should we purchase this house. Something is even more complex as should we add to our family? Should we have another child? Should we adopt another child? Right? Lots of various decisions. And sometimes our personality, our temperament, our life story, the styles and the ways in which we problem solve and communicate and cope dovetail and come together quite nicely with our partner, and that is when we make it great. We can collaborate, negotiate, and decide on something without there being too much friction and tension. Not only that, it feels good, right? It's like high-fiving everybody after a walk-off home run. Woo! Look at us! We're a great team! Woo! But there are those times when our inability to communicate,
Our inability to solve a problem, to collaborate, to negotiate, to identify a single resolution, to find consensus can become very stress-inducing. And then we cope in different ways. Most couples, there's someone who wants to take a step back, wants to step back, wants to think about it, wants to reflect this person's personality. They may be more introverted. Their thinking process may be more logical, and they want to take a step back. Yet they're with a partner that wants to talk it out right here and right now because their personality is so much more extroverted. They make decisions more by gut feel than actually weighing things out, predicting and anticipating how things are going to go, you know, more logical decision-making process. But this is why marriages work, which is not a bad thing. Because even though a marriage is work, every other frickin' relationship we have is work. Your relationship with your boss, your coworkers, your relationships at school, your relationships with your neighbors, your relationships with your family and your friends, they all take work. But a marriage is often the center relationship for many of us. It is the core of our very relational existence. And therefore, it takes on so much more intensity. Not to mention the fact that our relationships at work or at school or at church or social settings or civic areas are really defined by clearer, more extensive boundaries. When it comes to communicating and problem solving with your boss, there's a hierarchy there. There's a power differential. And as a direct result of that power differential, there are rules of engagement that we follow that even though we may think our boss needs a cranium rectum extraction, we are going to problem solve in a completely different way with our boss because of that power differential than we would with our spouse. Just like the same thing with our children, there's a power differential. I'm parent, you're child. Therefore, our problem solving style between the two of us, it really is going to be driven by my title, my role. I have power over you. But if you really want healthy, effective, efficient relationships with your boss, your children, even your spouse, it takes work. And that work is by first understanding, coming to an understanding of how that person's personality, temperament, and life story is influencing the communication, the problem-solving styles that you see as you attempt to collaborate and negotiate. And when that goes sideways, understanding how and why they're coping the way they do. That takes work because you have to put in the effort to understand the other person, which can be very difficult to do when you're feeling frustrated, annoyed, ignored, you name it, any kind of negative response. That's why it's such hard work. For those of you who know Gary Chapman and the five love languages, there are some great tips out there that help you begin to understand your partner. You get out of your way. You are not the center of the marriage or the relationship. It's a combination. It's the relationship that's the center. It's the dynamic that you create with another human being that is vitally important, not you. I mean, if that's the way you think, you probably have very crappy relationships. But if you're centered around what can I do, me, what can I do to feed health into my relationship? Now you're starting to think in a very healthy way. How can I feed health into my relationship? The first way you can do that is by understanding the style of your partner or your friend or your boss or your coworker or your choir mate or your teammate. You can try to understand why do they problem solve? Why do they communicate the way they do? Why do they cope the way they do? How is their personality, their temperament, and their life story being shown through their behavioral choices? because coping, problem solving, and communicating are behaviors. They are heavily seasoned and heavily flavored, and if you take a genuine interest, you have genuine curiosity about your spouse or anyone else in your life, and understanding why in the world did they just do that. You want to understand because you want to be able to respond to that in a healthier, more efficient, and effective way. Now you're feeding health into your relationship, but you're also working your ass off because it's super easy to throw your hands in the air and say, my spouse, my boss, my friend, my teammates, they ought to change. They need to follow me. They need to put me first. They need to demonstrate that I'm a priority. It is work to get to know the other person, their style, and how that style is influenced by their personality, temperament, and life story. That's real work. But there is a wonderful pot of gold at the end of that rainbow. If you put the work in, if you put the effort in, you're going to find that the relationship, the marriage, is far less stressful than you are. Far less stressful, right? There is far less stress. There we go. Got caught up in it for a moment. But when you work hard at understanding your partner and their styles, when you work hard at being able to find ways that you can feed health into your relationship, taking into account your partner's style, when you do that heavy lifting, when you go down that route, oh my God, things change dramatically. The stress is reduced. They feel closer to you and you feel closer to them. And I know what you're saying because I hear it in my therapy sessions all the time. But Bob, why do I have to do all the heavy lifting? Why am I doing all the work? My spouse isn't doing anything. Because you're doing all that work for you. You're doing all that work and that effort so that you can put your head on the pillow every night and say, you know what? I fed health into my marriage. I fed health into my relationship. I used empathy, immediacy. I tried to understand my spouses, my partners, whomever's styles of communicating and problem solving. Why? So that the relationship can be much more enjoyable. The dynamic is less. There's no stress. It's a super efficient way to get my needs met through this relationship. Because I did the work of understanding my partner, my spouse. I did the work of understanding how they communicate, how they problem solve. I made adjustments to my style to make the relationship more dynamic, more compassionate, more empathetic. And you know what? That benefits me. That benefits me. You don't do it for the other person. You do it for yourself. To improve the dynamics, to get more out of the relationship. Yeah, marriage is work. Of course it is. If you put in the work, you get more. If you don't, you just get divorced.
I'm telling you, he jumped us.
Sure did, huh?
I mean, gloves off, stick down, no warning. He challenged the chief.
Call his name.
Call his name! The toughest team in the Federal League. It's not this bunch of pussies.
'Cause I want to drive a Zamboni.
Piss on old-time hockey.
Yeah, I want to drive a Zamboni.
You're ruining it.
And there's a carnival-like atmosphere here tonight. The crowd is gathered, and, well, you can feel it. There's an air of expectancy.
You're listening to Marauder Radio with your host, the pirate king of the Hole in the Soul crew, Mr. Bob Zema.
Paying good money to witness this fiasco.
We could all land in the clinker for this.
Everybody is just on their feet screaming, kill, 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 this is hockey.
Hi, everybody. It's Bob Zema, and I want to tell you about my healing video, Grief is Like a Vacuum, It Sucks, that is available on Amazon's Instant Video Store.
here's what it's all about.
You know, grief is like a vacuum, because it sucks. We sense when a storm is coming. Nobody wants to be known as a griever. We know when a storm is coming. We do everything in our life to avoid grief, yet sometimes we just stay out in the rain. We go out of our way to avoid the pain of loss and the process of grief, and get out of the rain and get out of the storm and find that shelter and that hope.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm.
First and foremost, grief, the thing we all dread, the thing we all try to stay away from, is a healing process. This video is designed to help you develop your own unique style and process of grieving. It's about you discovering how you heal. This video is going to challenge you to find the grieving processes and the coping techniques that are going to work best for you.
You can buy my video or simply rent it via the Amazon Instant Video Store, and it's just a couple of bucks. Hey, for a couple of dollars, will you start your healing today? Cruise on over to BobZima.com to find out how you can download or purchase Grief is Like a Vacuum. It sucks.
Ha ha ha, yes, everybody. Welcome back to the beautiful Grumpy Gator Cafe. My name is Bob Zima, and I'm the cafe's resident lunatic lover and poet, and you're listening to Marauder Radio Live, Arg Métis Pirate Radio for Mental Wellness. And if you are out there and you are having a thought, you want to offer a suggestion, you want to push back on some of the things I've said, don't hesitate to reach out at 515-605-9800. Again, the guest call-in number is 515-605-9800. We are live every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Central Time for a full hour. After this hour is completed on the live radio showgram, I slice and dice it up and create little podcast episodes that are then broadcast under the Marauder Radio Pirate Podcasts for Mental Wellness banner, and you can find those by just Googling it, or look for our show on all of your favorite streaming devices or all of your favorite podcast platforms. Let's put it that way. I haven't asked my friend, I don't want to say her name because she's in the room right now. I haven't asked her to see if she could find me, but maybe I'll do that. Maybe that'll be funny. We'll see what happens, what she would say. I have to tell you, yesterday, folks, I'm in a little bit of pain today, feeling a little sore in the old muscles. I got out yesterday, and I did some yard work, and I can't tell you how cathartic it is to do yard work. I was burning stuff, which is always cathartic. Everything is much better when it's on fire, is my philosophy. There is nothing like having a big-ass bonfire in your backyard where you can just sit and get mesmerized by the flames. I was mentioning that earlier in another segment. But there's nothing I enjoy more than getting out to my burn pile and just burning the crap out of stuff. Mostly wood and leaves and shrubs and all sorts of stuff. It is really cathartic for me to get out there and just burn, because I can sit and I can get mesmerized by the bonfire, but also I'm physically working. I'm physically out there. I'm physically doing something, and that's awesome. In fact, yesterday my Fitbit said that over 40 times I got my heart rate up into the, you know, cardio area, which is good for me. Good strong heart is good for me. But it's just a physical exercise. It's the just sitting down with a beer and watching this fire for 15 minutes, you know, resting after a period of hard work. The other piece that's great is my backyard is starting to look pretty good. Now, I'll be honest with you. My wife said we look like a bunch of rednecks with all of our wood and this and that. You know, if I had bought a rusty car and put it in the backyard, I'd be fitting right in. And there's nothing wrong with that because I have an inner redneck, and that's for sure. But the yard was looking a little unkept. The yard was looking, you know, not as nice as it could. And I have to agree with my wife. She's absolutely right. But when I could look at some of the stuff that I had been able to accomplish yesterday, right, sawing up some logs, a tree that we had taken down, creating some firewood, stacking some firewood, some older logs and stuff that are no good anymore that I'm just burning in the backyard on a bonfire. It's getting cleaned up. It's getting neater. I can see the fruits of my labor. I can see what it is I'm doing. There's effort, and I can see that effort. The yard is starting to take shape. So not only is it incredibly physical, which is good for my overall physical wellness, right? Because 13 weeks ago, folks, I had open heart surgery. I had a pulmonary valve put in to me to address some congenital heart defects that I was born with nearly 58 years ago. 51 years ago when I was 7, I had my very first open heart surgery, and then bam, 51 years later, nearly half a century, I had another open heart surgery to address some of these congenital heart defects. But it's good to get out and get physical. It's good for me. It's good for my mental wellness. It's good for my physical wellness to get out and get physical. But also, it's just fun, right? Because you work hard, you do some, you know, chainsawing, nothing like a chainsaw, oh my God. And then you stack some wood and you see what you've been able to accomplish. The wood pile gets smaller, the stacked wood for fire gets better. In fact, last night we had a great fire, not only in our bonfire and burn pile, not only in our outside fire pit, but also inside in the fireplace yesterday as my wife and I enjoyed an evening in and made some steaks, some ahi tuna. Whew, God, it was good. But it was a good day yesterday, very cathartic. Could release a lot of stress, be physically active, see the fruits of my labor, and then sit back and enjoy a bonfire. Sit back and enjoy a fire in the outdoor fire pit with a beverage or two, and then come in the house and enjoy another fire in the fireplace while having a wonderful dinner with a wonderful person. It doesn't get any more cathartic than that. And I love it.
Personally, I give us one chance in three.
You figured, here's a loser, you know, a deadbeat.
Well, aren't you?
Well, yeah.
Every day's a gamble. I figure if I wake up in the morning, I'm a winner.
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
Green Acres is the place to be. Living is the life for me. Land spreading out to far and wide. Keep Manhattan, just give me that countryside.
Looks like I picked the wrong week to quit smoking.
The Bob Zima Show and Podcast will return in just a moment. Gentlemen, is your testicular sac starting to look old and worn? Is your nut hammock not as smooth as it used to be? Does it feel like sandpaper when you stroke your scrotum while watching sports in bed? Is the ball sack wrinkled to the point that your woman wants absolutely nothing to do with it anymore? Then you need to try and apply Bob's Big Ball Balm. Guaranteed to smooth out the rough edges of any Family Jewel chalice with no rubbing and no buffing. Bob's Big Ball Balm will restore the shine and gloss to any worn and beaten down scrotum. Bob's Big Ball Balm is not a wax. It's a space-age polymer formula. Look, we polished these balls and kept them in a pair of underwear for 50 consecutive days. And look, the finish on this scrotum still looks shiny and glossy. Gentlemen, try Bob's Big Ball Balm today.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the beautiful Grumpy Gator Cafe. My name is Bob Zima, and this is Marauder Radio Live, Arg Matey's Pirate Radio for mental wellness. I have to say, in the coming, my wife and I were having some conversations yesterday, and holy shnikes, even having a conversation with my son, who is going to graduate from the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, UNLV, in less than 2 weeks now. He's going to graduate. We're very proud of him, think he's an awesome kid. And that begins a series of trips my wife and I and family have planned that is like a little bit overwhelming and mind-boggling to me in some ways because I have a business I'm trying to run. I'm having a business. It's a business. You know, I'm in business to do business. I'm a businessman. I'm doing business. My business is a human soul. Amen, everybody. Get down and get back up again. Psychology, the actual term psychology, means the study of the soul, the study of the psyche. And as a licensed clinical professional counselor in the beautiful state of Illinois, ILLINI, in the beautiful state of Illinois, I see clients. Ever since my open heart surgery, which happened at the end of January, then I took a 6-week leave, and now I came back in March. Had a great month in March, but even busier in April. I saw more, had more sessions and more minutes doing telehealth therapy in April than I did in all of March, which is great. But that's it's my private practice. It's a business. It's how I earn a living. It's how I pay for my mortgage or pay for my car or pay for other things. But I started to think about the travel, and don't get me wrong, I love traveling. You just ask my wife. I'm go big and never stay at home Bob. You know, I spend way too much money when I'm on the road, and I go to places like Orlando and Las Vegas, two places where it's very easy to spend a lot of money, two places where it's awfully expensive because it's all about tourism. But coming up in the next few months, I will be headed to Vegas for my son's graduation. It's a wonderful celebration of a great accomplishment. My daughter from Seattle will be there, her boyfriend, my wife, my folks from FLA are flying in. Great aunt and uncle with my wife's family supposedly coming in, looking forward to spending time with them. But what an exciting trip, right? Vegas, woo! Going to go see the new Guardians of the Galaxy movie with my son. I've got a red eye coming back to Chicago. So before I jump on the plane, we're going to go see a movie. We're going to have a lot of fun. And then I get back, and then on June 1st, I'm headed to Seattle. We're going to Canada. My son's graduation trip, he decided he wanted to go to Western Canada. So Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, Banff National Park. Oh, my God, going to be great. Get back on the 12th of June. Have about a month before I'm headed to Hawaii. Hawaii. My wife has always wanted to go to Hawaii. My daughter decided it was time to stop listening to mom, hope and pray and wish that she could go to Hawaii. So my daughter booked us some airfare to go to Hawaii. We're using some of my hotel points to be able to stay at a beautiful place in Kona on the Big Island. And then we come back. And then I got about a week before I head to Florida for a family wedding, and then maybe to San Francisco for a trip with my daughter. My wife, in between Hawaii and Florida, San Francisco, may go back to Vegas to help my son. Travel city, baby. As much as I love traveling, I have to admit, I'm a little nervous about this. I don't know if I have the stamina. I'm just grateful I have a brand new pulmonary valve and that I am getting physically fit. Because this is going to be really grueling, not just the air travel, because that could be grueling, let's be honest. 36 inches of pitch? Come on, people. I remember the great glory days of air travel in the 70s and 80s when it was like sitting on your living room couch and you actually had a tray
front of your couch with actual silverware. Now you're lucky to get more than half a cup of Coke and some, but I'm not here to riff on the airline industry. But air travel's tough, right? Getting through the airports. And then there's all this other additional stuff, like you need a pet sitter. You got to find a place to park your car. And as much as I love travel, there's a lot of work involved in it. It can be grueling. It can be stressful. My wife and I are going to be on the road to Vegas, to Seattle, to Canada, to Hawaii, to Florida, and maybe San Francisco. Six destinations in a little over 2.5 months. And as I was saying in the previous section, right, marriage is a lot of work. And so we're both going to cope with that stress of travel, of airports, of cost. I mean, it costs a pretty penny to travel these days. So we're both going to cope with that in very different ways. We both have to problem solve in very different ways, right? How do we reduce costs? How do we maintain a budget for these trips? Because, you know, as fun as they are, you come back dead-ass broke, you know, then the fun was short-lived. And I think we're really looking for sustainability. At least I know I am. I'm looking for sustainability. But as much as I love to travel, I have to say I'm a little nervous. A little nervous about how this is going to be. A lot of time on the road. And for my wife, think about it. She could leave on July 11th, go to Hawaii, come back, go to Vegas, come back, go to Tampa, San Francisco, then come back and have to start teaching again. She's a teacher. So from July 11th to like August 12th, on the road, that's grueling. It takes a lot of energy to cope with that and to problem solve and to communicate effectively. So it's going to be a very interesting time for us. Lots of fun, lots of family, lots of celebrations. And sometimes, you know, Hawaii, just the two of us. All the other trips are with family. And it's going to be fun, family, food, you know, festive. But it's still going to be grueling living out of a suitcase, getting through airports, dealing with the airlines. So it's going to be a very interesting situation for my wife and I when it comes to being able to tolerate and deal with that kind of pace. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens.
So if I understand you correctly, you're looking for a good, gifted, funny, talented, energetic, and entertaining speaker for your special event, huh?
But isn't that what being an international man of mystery is all about?
Well, I know this speaker, author, comedian, counselor, educator, who is for hire. If you're looking, that is.
Oh, behave.
You don't need to look any further than the host of this fabulous radio show, Mr. Bob Zemo.
Yeah.
Why, he's been to hell and back so often, he can speak on a variety of topics and make them not only educational, but also highly entertaining.
Yeah, baby! Yeah.
Bob Zemo is one of those special secret agents who's able to speak on a wide range of topics, including anger and addiction, anxiety and depression, crisis and trauma and grief. He talks about healing and parenting and relationships such as marriage. Boy, that guy can talk about a lot of different things and a lot of different topics. Why, he's one of our most multi-talented, multifaceted special speaker agents.
This sort of thing ain't my bag, baby.
No need to worry. You can get in touch with Bob Zemo, special speaker secret agent, by sending him an email, mrbobzima@gmail.com. That's mrbobzima@gmail.com.
Danger's my middle name.
Well, folks, we've got just a few minutes left, and I thought that we would end today's show with a discussion of timeouts. You're in a timeout. You're in the sin bin, man. You're in the penalty box. I'm not talking about a parenting technique.
Although I remember, I thought it was really cool. Somebody once put their kid in the penalty box if they were not acting, if they were not acting appropriately, if they were acting up. And then I remember somebody else, because we live in such a politically correct world these days where we have to be mindful of other people's trauma. I remember somebody else said, well, is that very good to call it the penalty box, to call it the sin bin? Are you not shaming your child? Hello, McFly. They like hockey. There's context here. Get your head out of your ass and quit pointing fingers at others. But how about the marital timeout? How about when the two of you are not able to cope, problem solve, communicate too effectively, and it's going sideways, and it's starting to become lobs of big bombs at each other? Well, you remember when you did this, and remember when you did that, or remember when this happened to me? And when things start to go sideways, in those elements where personality, temperament, life story impact styles that conflict, right? And this is when we can't cope very effectively, individually or collectively as a couple. Our communication missing on all fronts. We're missing, or our problem solving isn't really leading to collaborative dynamics, leading to a good, healthy, and effective negotiation to find a resolution to a problem. When couples find themselves in this process, a lot of marital therapists will say, well, get time out, call it time out. I worked with a couple ones who didn't want to call it time out because their life stories had time out had a negative impact. So we called it a commercial break. I'm calling it a commercial break like I do on this radio show. Those of you watching on the live YouTube stream know when I'm in a commercial break, I'm just sitting there. But at the end of the day, folks, calling a timeout, calling a commercial break, calling it the end of the round, ding, 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 everybody back to their corners. You have to do this sooner rather than later. Most couples that try the timeout, most clinicians that teach the timeout and encourage clients to do it way too late. What you want to do is understand the pattern associated with the conflict or the lack of meshing of your communication and problem-solving skills that are heavily influenced by your personality, your temperament, and your life story. Most of us, when we really sit down and think about it, can figure out when our conversations with our spouse, our friends, our family are going to go sideways, because we've had the conversation many times before. It's repetitive. It's a pattern. But for some reason, we think that if we keep doing the same old stuff, it'll turn out differently. And we all know the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And so taking a timeout, a commercial break, when it comes to stopping the negative dysfunctional patterns that plague your relationship, look sooner than the really big blowout moments. The finger pointing, the lobbing of big insults. Look sooner. Know the pattern at the beginning that builds to the blowout. Because it is at the beginning that you want to call a timeout or a commercial break. Hey, guess what? We're headed down that terrible road again. Hey, guess what? We're headed for disaster. Let's not go there this time. How about if we just take a 10-minute break, breathe, and try to come back and solve this problem. Time for me to fly. Well, I got to set myself free. Time for me to fly. And that's just how it's got to be. I know it hurts to say goodbye, but it's time for me to fly.
Here's done. I'm needed elsewhere now. I'm needed wherever outlaws rule the West. Wherever innocent women and children are afraid to walk the streets. Wherever a man cannot live in simple dignity. And wherever a people cry out for justice.
Bullshit!